everybody.
Hey, what's up? We're streaming on a new computer for the first time.
So please, please tell me if the sound sounds okay, because I had to do all the new like shit on here, and I'm just like, I can't remember all the settings, so I don't know if I fucked them up or not.
The image seems to be the same.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
So it's not, because what we're seeing on our monitor here is like
sound is off.
The sound's off.
As in off, like you can't hear anything. Shit, why?
Yeah, there's no sound.
Oh,
it's muffled.
Sounds muffled.
Look, maybe this.
Looks good. Shit, man. Ugh. Okay.
I got this dong hanging. The sound dong.
The sound dong?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I don't know why it would be like that. Maybe I can turn it down. Nope, not that much. Hold on.
Yeah. Sound test.
Oh, it sounds good now, it says.
Sounds good now?
Okay, so maybe it was just up too high.
Might have been up too high or something.
How about this? How about that? Is that fine? Or maybe it was too far away. Okay.
Maybe it was.
Yeah. I think maybe it was just too far away. We should just leave. Well, it would be like an Ed Wood movie. Well, it's better than being here. Right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that was like.
Better.
Yeah, while I was on vacation, he got the.
The
boom arm, and like hooked it all up and all that other kind of stuff.
Yeah. I still wish it was in a slightly different position, but there's nothing I can do about it.
Well, what are you going to do? Like I said, it's better than being here and like being in front of everyone's chest and stuff.
Yeah, I kind of would like it right here and out of the view. Anyway, today's show, looks like people showed up. At least we got some in there. Today's show is about bread. Bread in Western civilization is like nectar of the gods, the ichor of life. Bread was just flour and water and a few little components, maybe some eggs and some butter. You can make bread. You had most of the Western civilization, the poor people, just surviving on bread and beer. Because that's basically the same thing. Beer is drinkable bread in many ways. And today, you know what I mean, when you want bread, you use bread in sandwiches, and you can, you know, use it in certain desserts, you know, call it cake. People tend to buy it. So today's show is going to be a very kind of like brief outline to encourage newbies who've never made bread to make bread. It's very cheap to make. It's easy to make. And it can be made fast as long as you have the ingredients and you've planned ahead. It's not like, well, damn, I'm going to make a sandwich. Let me go make the bread. It's not like that.
I have a sandwich like 3 hours ago.
Yeah, right. The bread should have been made already.
Oh, Tammy said, love your shirt, Jenny. Thank you. Yeah, I got this at Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum in St. Augustine.
Yeah.
I got a bunch of shirts.
Yeah. You're filling that shirt out, too. Look at that. Stood up and then fucking... Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Last night we went out to the club, so I'm kind of like fucked up still.
Yeah.
It's kind of slow. It was a decent night, though.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
Got chicken and waffles at the end of the night. That was nice.
Yeah. They had these three bikini fitness fucking competition girls in there. Came in there. They were just fucking shredded. They were probably in their 40s or 50s. Jenny was there dancing, I was there dancing, and over her shoulder, there, all three of them are back there fucking staring at me, judging me and shit. So I had to sit there and be judged by these fucking shredded ass bikini girls. Look, you remember that movie Underwater?
Yeah.
When they were walking underwater and the damn Cthulhu monster came out and the little monsters popped out and looked at them?
Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
Oh.
Them six damn eyeballs looking at me. Going like, what's his body, you know? Why the hell isn't he 15% body fat? You know, shit like that, you know. Looking up and down, I don't know, he might be something in a couple years, but nah, you know, fuck you.
You don't know they were thinking that.
I don't know, it was something like that.
I mean, you don't know.
They were looking fantastic. And they were looking at me like, yeah, it's kind of like a baby bat. You know how like we look at a baby bat or something, like yeah. a new goth. They're like, who's that guy? What gym does he go to?
Yeah.
You know, they were talking to each other, looking at me like, who's that motherfucker? You know? Anyway. It's kind of like we would look at, why are they wearing those shoes? You know what I mean?
It's like, what's with those cargo shorts and the
Yeah, why are they wearing the, yeah, that's how what we
why
do.
Why are you in a nightclub wearing that stuff?
Yeah.
You look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous in a nightclub with those flip-flops. You know? We saw a lot of that shit. Anyway,
somebody had said about the audio clipping. It was because it wasn't this. It was the settings, because it turned the microphone all the way up, like in the settings on here. So I just fixed it.
Yeah.
So
okay.
They said it's fixed.
All right.
Sounds a lot better, just a little low. Well, now I'm gonna turn it up on here.
Okay.
Because like I said, I wasn't sure. This is the first time that we're streaming with this new one. That
yeah.
was very very thoughtfully given to us by No Need For Me Too.
Yeah.
Sent it to us, and it's. Awesome.
So far, it seems to be
so
a great computer.
So I got it set up all day yesterday, and I was like, I did some recording, like, just for
yeah
purposes, you know, but this is the first time we're streaming with it, so. Okay, sounds good now, so it's perfect. Okay.
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 Jenny's going to retire the other computer, be an auxiliary.
Yeah, it's always nice to
It'd
have.
It'd be a business computer.
Yeah. Probably. I mean, and I got to get a new battery for my Mac, too. That's my graphic design one, so.
Yeah, that's going to be on the way.
Yeah.
And, what do you want to do with this PC, this tower? Do you want to update that, or is it good enough the way it's going?
That one's good enough. I was pretty much all I use that one for is browsing the internet, like for research and
okay.
a little bit of video editing.
Okay,
that's about all right. I use that one for.
So keep me advised if that starts falling behind. We'll do something about that one too, because okay. that one was donated also. That was a secondhand.
Yeah.
Old one. It seems to be working though.
Yeah.
Okay. So get back to bread. The easiest, quickest bread that you can make would be shortbread. And that's a good bread that you would use, like, for survival. You know what I mean? Some survival bread. If you don't put any sugar in it, it's shortbread. If you put sugar in it, it's shortcake. You know, like if you're going to make strawberry shortcake. Or basically, this recipe is basically what you use. It's basically how to make your own Bisquick. That's all it is. And with that, you can modify it. You can look at all the recipes on there. You could take that and actually water it down and turn it into pancake mix, too. There's all different kinds of things that you can do. And it's nothing but just all-purpose flour. All right? Unbleached all-purpose flour. Some kind of shortening, like Crisco. I like this butter-flavored Crisco that you can get now. It's really nice. It's just yellow.
Yeah, I like that as well.
Yeah, it's kind of like butter, but a lot less expensive. Requires no refrigeration. You can keep it in your house open forever and it won't spoil. So if you're ever in a hurricane and you lose power, you can still make bread with this. It won't go bad. Like, if you lose power, the air conditioning goes down and all your butter starts to melt. Okay? So your butter's going to go fucking bad, probably. Yeah. Well, it won't go bad. It'll just turn into fucking slime.
A butter puddle.
But Crisco, or shortening, it doesn't really care what temperature it is. You can still use it. And it doesn't spoil or anything. It's vegetable product, you know, so it's safe. So it's just flour, shortening, a little bit of stuff to make it rise, yeast, and a little bit of water or milk. And I've used I've made my own milk out of the powdered milk, Nido
yeah.
powdered milk. But you actually, it doesn't even have to be milk, really, in a real, you know, if you're in a real pinch. Do you have the recipe at hand, what it is?
I have a couple of ones. Okay. I have, like, just a regular white bread recipe.
Which is the one for the shortbread?
Well, when you say shortbread, people think you mean, like, shortbread like the cookie, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Because
that's, like, a different thing.
Okay.
Because you got, like... You know, you got like your regular bread, which is with yeast, and then you have
yeah.
your quick bread, which okay. doesn't have yeast.
All right.
And quick bread is shit like, you know, zucchini bread, banana bread,
right.
all that kind of stuff, you know, waffles, that kind of stuff. But your regular white bread is just bread flour or all-purpose flour. You can use that too. A little bit of sugar, a little bit of salt, a little bit of shortening, yeast,
yeah.
water,
yeah.
and butter.
Or what do you call it? Or Crisco. You can use that in exchange with butter.
Yeah.
But the what I was talking about, I call it, some people would call it shortcake.
Yeah.
Okay. It makes a little muffin type thing, and that's what you would use for like strawberry shortcake. The difference is that strawberry the shortcake and the shortbread, that's what we used to call it. The difference was whether or not it had sugar or not in it.
Yeah.
That's all it was. If you put sugar in it, it was a little bit sweeter. You know, and it was more cake-like.
Yeah.
And it was there's really nothing to it. If you've never made any of this bread, try it. All you need is a big bowl, measuring cups, and like a decent rubber spatula. When it comes to spatulas, I like to use what you call an egg flipper. That's what they would call it in the civilian world. It's like a spatula, but it's shaped more like a knife. It's a lot longer, and it's got kind of like an angle to it that's like a blade, and it allows you to flip over omelets a lot better. But the thing is that's really good at mixing batter. You can scrape along the inside of the bowl and get a lot of it, you know what I mean, in a bigger swipe. When you're making this shortbreads and bread, as you're mixing it and it starts to pull away from the bowl, you're going to probably want to put vegetable oil in there to help it pull away from the bowl and isolate itself from the bowl. So it ends up being a ball of dough that is kind of like suspended off of your bowl in a slight, suspended slightly on a glaze of oil.
Yeah.
Which allows you to get some of it out. And it also allows you to tear pieces of it off. But there's a bunch of video tutorials and everything you need online to help you make breads. All right. And knowing how to make bread is a very valuable skill, especially in a pinch. I saw this, somebody pointed this out on one of these things that I listened to. They're talking about millennials and the newer generations. Well, over there in Russia, they were talking to Putin, and one of these little tough-ass fucking Russian boys asked him a question. He says, "How do we become stronger men? More manly." That's what the fucking kid, he gives about 18, 19, asked Putin that. And Putin says, "Learn how to cook." And they laughed. And he goes, no. This is good advice. Every man should learn how to cook, because that is an essential survival skill no matter where you are. He says, what do you do? Depend on your mom to cook for you? You know? Every man should learn how to cook.
Well, everybody should at least know rudimentary.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be like a chef or anything, but everybody should at least know how to make a few things.
Exactly. You should know how to feed yourself. And when I heard that Pootie gave that advice, I was like, yep, that's right. Because evidently, kind of like in the Russian manosphere, cooking is kind of like a feminine thing, and they neglect it, you know, in their mind.
Well, I kind of feel like that's, to a certain extent, that was not so much nowadays, because, that, you know, everybody's in foodies nowadays, so it's not seen as, like, so feminine anymore. But I feel like, particularly in the 50s and stuff like that in the U.S.,
right.
that was woman shit. Yeah. But then the dumb thing was, like, chefs, like, high-caliber chefs were almost all men.
Yeah.
And you didn't say, you know, like I said, not nowadays, but back then, and all the famous ones were men.
Yeah.
And somehow that wasn't...
The working class, the women didn't work jobs outside the home. They worked inside the home. It was a full-time job.
Yeah, of course.
Taking care of kids, cleaning things, growing food, making food. So kitchen duty fell on the working class women in that era. But rich people had their meals cooked for them. And you know what I mean? It was in the top chefs were these French chefs. And they were running a French system that I talked about in another video.
Yeah, I'm not sure we did about sauces, yeah.
Right. It was the French kind of, and it was really only two or three guys, and it was started in the mid-1800s. They tried to make a system for cooking, starting off with sauces, where sauces came from. And they wanted to approach cooking in an organized fashion like it was science or alchemy. It was a lot like alchemy.
Which is actually kind of a good analog. I mean, you know what I mean? Yes, there's science involved. Yes, there's chemistry involved, obviously.
Yeah.
Particularly when you're talking about bread and baking.
Yeah.
But there is kind of like finesse and art to it as well.
Yeah. Because assembling a dish out of a bunch of components is not really so much about perfect measurements, because the components have slight variations all the time. The measurements, so the things are kind of, in other words, you can assemble a dish exactly by the recipe and it not really come out that well, because the salt might be off, or the salt sugar ratio might be wrong. It has to be finished off by taste, and taste is a subjective thing.
Yeah.
So you're starting to deal with artwork, with art. It's which is art, and it's kind of like alchemy. Like, put some heat on it. Yeah, that'll be good. Taste it. Yeah, that's, add a little bit more of that. Yeah, okay, it tastes right now. You know, that. So you can't really codify that.
Yeah, because so much of it is, like, subjective.
Yeah, it's very
and
subjective.
And the thing about, well, I mean, it's a little less so, I guess, with baking, because baking is a lot more precise. You have to be a lot more precise, and particularly when you're baking bread and stuff like that, or, you know, if it's not quick bread, if it's yeast. Because yeast, which a lot of people found out, I feel like there was kind of like a mini trend during, like, the beginning of the pandemic, where everybody decided suddenly we're going to make sourdough bread at home, and everybody was trying to do sourdough starters, and they were talking about, like, how fucking difficult it was because the yeast kept dying and all this other kind of shit. Because I think sourdough... I've made sourdough in a bread machine, but I'm not a big fan of sourdough, so I didn't make it that often. But sourdough is kind of, at least as far as I could determine, like, the most difficult one, or the most finicky one to make at home. Obviously, if you're going to start making bread at home, it's probably easier to start with quick breads, because you don't have to fuck with yeast then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, because, you know, banana bread, zucchini bread, that kind of, like, pumpkin bread, all that kind of stuff is, like, really easy, because you don't have to worry about proofing the yeast and making sure you have the water warm enough, and, like, you're, you know, when the dough proofs, like, the dough rises, you have to have, like, the kitchen has to be warm enough and all this other kind of stuff. So there's, like, all these little factors that, you know, that have to go into it.
My advice about bread, all right, is you want to source these components in bulk. If you go to your local grocery store and you get the little 5-pound bags, you're not really getting a good deal when it comes to how much that loaf of bread's going to cost you after that. And so it's better than buying it, but it's still not that economical. Now, I do it for when I buy bread flour, because I can only get 5-pound bread flour in 5-pound bags. That's what I use to make pizza dough with. I used to be able to get it in 20-pound bags, but it's gone now. I don't know where, you know.
It's like every now and then Sam's will have bread flour in the big bags, but for sometimes they don't have it. It just depends on whatever is going on. I asked them to
order it, and they go, yeah, we can't get it anymore. So, but you can get all-purpose or general all-purpose flour. You can get that in 20-pound bags. So what you want to do is you want to get 20-pound bags. And you say, well, I don't want a 20-pound bag sitting around in my pantry. Yeah, I agree with you. You don't want a 20-pound open bag. So what you do is you get a large plastic container. And what I'm actually using to hold bread flour in is what used to be a giant, giant square plastic bucket with a top on it that was originally cat food, little kitty chow stuff. It still even has a laser imprinted logo of little kitty chow stuff. But that is a bucket that you would pay about $15, $20 for if you bought it. You know what I mean? Yeah, they want to charge you $20 for that bucket if you bought it as a blank storage bucket. No. Source that shit from something else. Like kitty chow, or a big old thing that fucking had dry dog food in it.
Or kitty litter.
Kitty litter.
Like that. Yeah, because they sell them in those big.
Yeah. I used to kitty chow ones. I think is a little more appetizing and less unappetizing than kitty litter.
I mean, you wash it, but
wash the fuck out of it and send it through the damn automatic washing machine too. You know, it'll be fine. It's totally sanitized, and use that as bread storage, or excuse me, flour storage. If you start dealing with hundreds of pounds or 50 pounds, all we used to use in the restaurant is a damn plastic garbage can. That's all it was, a plastic garbage can with a snap-on lid that could seal.
Yeah.
And we'd have 100 pounds of flour sitting in that thing. But we were making vast quantities. But there are some people that want to stockpile that much flour, you know. And I trust it in that plastic container over that paper container that they come in, because bugs can't eat through that plastic.
Yeah.
They'll eat through that paper bag that it comes in.
Or mousies will.
Or mouse will eat it. Put it in a brand new plastic garbage can, put the top on it, and then seal it shut with duct tape. And it would stay like that for years. It'd be fine. All right. Now, same thing with yeast. You're going to see yeast in these little bitty shake packets. Man, throw that shit away. All right. That's... fuck it, that fucker. No.
I like the gesture.
No. Go down to Sam's and get the big old fucking industrial cakes of yeast. And there'll be two cakes of yeast. There, each one of them is like the size of five fucking packs of cigarettes. All right. And they're usually stuck together. And they're in foil wrappers and they're stuck together with shrink wrap. Open that bitch up. Use it. And then take the rest of it and pour it into a glass jar or a plastic jar and put it in a door of your refrigerator. So just keep your yeast in the refrigerator. You know, don't keep it in that little plastic bag. Everything's storage. Jenny will tell you, if I find a pretty glass bottle, I'm keeping that.
Or a jar. Anything that had, like, it could have, like, you know, sun-dried tomatoes in there or artichoke hearts.
Or whatever. It might have had, like, the really nice glass jar that had spices in it.
Yeah.
It might have had a cork on the top of it. Might have had a screw-on cap. I'll clean that off. If it had any labels, pull those labels off. Wipe it all down with lighter fluid to get all the sticky glue off of it. Send it through the washing machine. Come back and have a brand new square pretty bottle. And I'll put red chili flakes down in there and then pour a bunch of olive oil in there and shake it and let it cure and make, you know, hot olive oil with it. There's all kinds of stuff you can do with it. Or if you want to change the packaging, you get a big old thing of spices and you're going like, I don't want it in plastic packaging. I'm going to change it to glass. That way I got custom containers. You know? I'm just weird like that, I guess, you know.
Well, no, it's not really. I mean, because when things come in a glass container, especially if it's like nice, a big one.
Yeah.
I mean, why would you just throw that away? It's wasteful.
That glass jar, especially if it's a pretty shape, if you were to just buy that jar, it would have cost you a lot of money. They want to charge you like $3 or $4
They're giving you a free jar.
And I have all my jars and all my spices and stuff, and you could put them up on your counter for display, and they're pretty.
Yeah.
You know? You know, it's not these plastic fucking containers with the, you know, pictures of people looking at you in fucking garish colors and shit, you know? No, man, classy shit. Classy shit. So, that was another secret that I'm getting to with the bread. Storage. Buy big. Learn how to store it. This shit goes back to ancient Egypt, man, where they're storing the wheat and trying to protect the firstborn from the fucking down in the land of Goshen. You know what I mean? When evil angels were coming across killing the firstborn, you know?
I remember when that happened.
Remember when that shit happened? They had to protect the fucking grain silos and fucking plagues of frogs, plagues of fucking flies, plagues of simps. They just simping ain't easy.
Okay.
Yeah. Imagine that. Imagine if you got attacked by a plague of simps. Make a lot of money, though.
I guess.
Make a lot of money, yeah.
What does that have to do with bread, though?
I don't know. It just went down that way. Has nothing to do with bread. It's just an entertaining story. Just taking us back to the Old Testament. It's when they just made bread. What else recipes? What else kind of bread do we have in there lined up?
Well, like I said, you wanted to talk about multigrain.
Yeah.
And I found this little thing. I was watching a video. I can't remember what the dude's name was, but he had a recipe where you didn't have to knead it, and it actually came out really good. Like
you just mixed like a round it in stater.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
He had one like that, and he had one making focaccia.
Okay, yeah.
Which was really cool. But you could see how that one seemed a little more difficult because the dough was kind of like, it kept like bouncing back.
Yeah.
And he's like, you have to keep kind of like pushing it down and you have to kind of squish it and like let it, because you want it to go to the edges of the pan that you're cooking it in. So it's like big and square and shit. But yeah. But I found this thing too that was like talking about like troubleshooting tips and shit like that. Because I feel like a lot of stuff, there is a lot of stuff that can go wrong, especially if you're making like a yeast one.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, because you put in, and we talked about this a little bit when we were doing the pizza show, yeah, because you were talking about making the dough. I don't think you've ever had the yeast like fuck up though.
No, because there's something you have, most people have to understand that there's something called shocking bread. You can shock a dough and fuck it up. That's where you have, let's say you have yeast making a culture inside the sugar water, all right, and it's growing. You can smell it. And you go, oh, man, that's beautiful. And then it comes time to start adding water to that, all right, and then the flour to that, okay? If you add the flour too quickly and just start mixing, like you put all of it in there and just mix it, all right, it'll shock the flour. Yeah. It'll taste terrible.
You can't do that.
It won't rise right. It'll be like cardboard. All right. You have to add the flour in there slowly and mix it in there slowly. You can't shock it. That's the same. That's probably the same thing you're talking about with bread. This is, I know not to shock flour. You know, excuse me, not to shock your dough.
Yeah.
You know, you're mixing it in there slowly. If you don't mix it in there slowly, it's just going to fuck up. It's got to go in there. And the tutorials or the directions on any of your recipes for any kind of bread you want to make, follow them. They're telling you to do shit on purpose. They're trying to get you to avoiding shocking the dough.
Yeah, because okay? You can't... I mean, dough is... I mean, making bread is something you can't really be impatient with.
No.
You really got to take your time.
It is fast, though, once you get it. Once you understand. It doesn't take a long time. It's just... You can't rush it. You have to do the proper step. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you have to do, like I said, you have to add the flour to the yeast, like, really, really slowly, or it's going to fuck it up. Then when you have to let it rise for, you know, a couple of hours, then you have to come back in and you have to knead it to get all the gluten going.
Yep.
Then you have to let it rise again. And then so you really, it's, you know, but I think a lot of people like doing it for that very reason, because it's almost kind of like relaxing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, kind of.
And then at the end of it, you have like delicious fucking bread. One thing that the guy said, and I had actually never heard anybody say this, but he's like, I hate to tell you this, but your bread is going to be best after you take it out of the oven. I know you're going to want to stick it in your face like immediately because it's warm and everything. But he's like, it's actually much better if you leave it to cool completely for like an hour before you eat it, because like the texture is correct. But I'm like, see, I don't think I could wait that long. Because normally, when I made bread, I just, as soon as I pulled it out, I was just like,
they want the fluffy bread.
Yeah, I want the fluffy, warm bread.
A lot of people were going to make a big batch of bread so you could do what you want. You could eat one of it, some of it, as soon as it comes out, and let the rest of it chill. Here's another thing, is that depending on what kind of dough you've made, some doughs can be frozen and then thawed out. And when they're thawed back out, you can make bread directly from a thawed out dough. So when you make, like when I make pizza dough, it'd be the same for bread dough. Make enough of it. Make quite a bit of it. If you're gonna make it, make a lot of it. You know, and you can use some of it now, and then you then store some of it just in the refrigerator in a Ziploc bag. But you kind of leave it open so it can breathe a little bit. You might want to knead it every, you know, day or so that it's in the refrigerator. And over the next like 2, 3, 4 days, pull pieces of it off of it and make bread, or make a small pizza dough, make a small pizza, something like that. Well, you can do that with some of the dough, and then some of the other dough you could put it in little round balls, wrap it in plastic, and put it in the freezer and freeze it. So couple months later, if you want a little small loaf of bread, just pull one of those balls out, set it on the counter, and let it thaw all day. And then go out there and knead it. It'll come back to life. And then cook it. Cook it as a loaf of bread. You can do it.
And once bread is cooked, it also freezes really well.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times if we just buy bread, we buy a lot of it like at Sam's, and then we just freeze a bunch of it. That'll last like a couple months in there.
The secret to freezing cooked bread is the thawing process. When the bread comes out of the freezer, you're going to see ice crystals on it. You want to take it out of the wrapper and get all those ice crystals off of it. Wipe it down with a clean rag. Because if you leave it in a plastic wrapper, that the ice crystals will melt and it'll end up sitting in water. And when it sits in water, it'll start to mold.
Yeah.
So you want to dry off the outside of it. Get those ice crystals off. Let it thaw outside. Once the loaf is thawed, take a clean towel, and because we use kitchen towels, real kitchen towels, not paper towels, a real towel. You can buy them at Sam's, big packet of them for a couple dollars, and you can wash them in the washing machine, bleach them and everything, just like at a restaurant. You'll save money over paper towels just by using regular towels. So when the thing thaws out, thaw it out on a towel, and then pat it dry, and then put it in plastic, and then put it in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
Yeah, so that's... I was going to ask, too. Somebody, Danny Rolling Ghostface, said, I say Dunkin' Donuts should recycle their old donuts into bread pudding instead of trashing them. I kind of wish most... Every restaurant, even if it's fast food, they should totally be, like, fucking recycling that food. We just, like, waste so much fucking food in this country.
The way those corporations look at it... They didn't hardly spend any money on that stuff. That's like table scraps. They just throw it away.
I know, it's sad.
To give it away, sometimes they will give it away, but they're kind of afraid that it's a liability. But you're right. Any kind of old bread or donuts or old cake.
There's tons of stuff you can do with that.
You can turn that into bread pudding.
Yeah.
You would think that they would sell it, but... There's a lot of waste in the food in the food industry. There's just a lot of
waste. I mean,
we
did have... I remember, and I'm sure there's some around here too, but I remember near where we grew up in Daytona, there was a store, and all they sold was, you know, bread and cakes and stuff like that from the grocery stores that were a couple of days old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, once everything came out of the bakery and that it was the end of the day, like, somebody would come by in the truck and drop them off, and you could buy them for, like, a buck or something like that. And honestly, it's like, most of the time, it's totally still fine. And most of the time, if I'm going to be eating bread, I'm going to toast it anyways. So it doesn't matter if it's a little bit stale. As long as it doesn't have fucking mold on it, I'll eat it. I don't care. But I was going to ask you how you felt about bread machines. Because I used to have a bread machine, and it made, like, pretty fucking decent bread. And you could make pizza dough in it. You could make all different kinds of shit.
I've never. You're talking about a mixer?
No, a bread machine.
I never had one. Never even dealt with one.
Really?
No, everything by hand. Everything just in regular ovens.
Basically, they're about yay big. You can get bigger ones if you want. I think the one I had was maybe like $100. I think you can get them now for maybe $60-$70 for like a basic one. It's got like a little thing in it. All you do, you put in all the ingredients into the pan. You close it. You set whatever kind of bread you want. How dark do you want the crust? Yada, yada. It does everything. It kneads it. It lets it rise. And it bakes it.
Okay.
And then it takes... Depends on the kind of bread, but I think it took... I think just for regular basic bread, I want to say like it took 3 or 4 hours like all together. But like I said, it was kneading it and then letting it rise and kneading it. But the machine does everything. And then at the end, you have like a little... So they're usually like a little 2-pound machine.
Another thing that I made one time is I made some unleavened flatbreads based on naan.
Yeah.
Indian flatbread. That shit was easy. I forgot what it was.
Because I think naan and pita does actually have yeast in it, but you can make like different kinds that don't have that, that don't have yeast in it.
It was something like butter, which I think they use ghee. Melted butter. I think it was flour and milk. I think it was milk.
Yeah.
Might have been yogurt. I think it was a mix. I think what it was is I took milk and then broke down a little bit of sour cream in it and made that into a yogurt
kind
of deal.
Yeah, I think that's what, yeah.
And then I made a dough. And then I took a pizza stone and I put it on the gas grill. And turned it all the way up real high, covered it, and got that stone real hot. And then turned the flames down a little bit and threw those pieces of naan on there. Remember that? I made a sandwich with that.
Yeah.
Shit was good, wasn't it?
It was. I did it.
And I just wanted to see what the bare minimum it took to make bread. Yeah. And you can make bread with damn near nothing. And it come out pretty good. Real good. This is like naan.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I remember you doing that.
Yeah, shit, bubbled man. And everything.
Talking about this, and I was watching, like I said, I was watching a couple of videos of people making different kinds of bread, and I was like, man, this makes me want to get a bread machine again. Yeah. So I went on Amazon, and I was like, what kind of bread machines they got?
Yeah.
I think the one I had before, I had one a long time ago. My grandmother gave it to me for Christmas one year. And, man, I used the shit out of that. It was so easy. Like, all you had to do was throw the ingredients in there and could be like, yeah, I want this kind of bread and, you know, this, like, dark crust, medium crust, light crust, whatever. Then you just turn it on, boop, and it just did everything.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident that if I had some flour, some shortening, you know, some kind of vegetable shortening, some water, and maybe a little bit of milk, you could make a pretty decent little dough and just throw that onto a really hot rock in the middle of a damn campfire or on the side of a campfire and make a decent piece of bread.
Yeah. And that's all anybody really wants.
That's what they were doing back then anyway.
Yeah. And I mean, there's so much shit you can do with...
Yeah.
With really nothing.
Yeah.
And I think that's even one of the things that that guy said. It's like, that's what's so awesome about bread. It's like, you just take these little, like, nothing cheap ingredients and all of a sudden you can have... all these versatile, delicious.
If you were some kind of cowboy on a trail with a horse and shit and a mule, if you had a cast iron skillet with a top on it, that would help a lot.
Yeah.
You could make pretty much anything as long as you had a cast iron skillet and fire.
I kind of feel like everybody should have a cast iron skillet.
Yeah.
If you're cooking at home, I mean.
Yeah.
Because you can make damn near anything in that fucking thing.
Yeah.
And we make all kind of
great pizza.
That. Yeah, we made pizza in it. We just make everything in that shit. And they're not horribly expensive. I think that one... did I buy you that for Christmas money? I think it's a Lodge. And I think, what was it? $40? $50?
I don't know.
Like that. And they last like forever.
Yeah. That didn't come with a top on it, did it?
No.
It didn't.
No, that one didn't have a top.
But you can buy tops. Basic, they're just standard tops. Standard sizes. 10-inch, 12-inch, you know.
Yeah. But now that we're talking about it, like I said, maybe I'll buy myself a bread machine.
What does it do that an oven doesn't do?
It does everything besides that. Like I said, it needs it.
It needs it?
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Like I said, you just throw it, and it's about this big.
Huh.
That's about how big it was. Like I said, all you have to do is put all the shit in there.
Yeah.
And then just leave it.
And it needs it, and then it bakes it in there too?
Uh-huh.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
I had one years and years ago.
Okay.
And it makes like really decent,
like a little decent
2 pound loaf of bread like that. And like I said, you can make any kind of bread you want in it.
You
make cinnamon swirl. You can make whatever.
You're gonna find all different kinds of recipes online. Different kinds of breads. You know, even stuff that has oatmeal in it.
I love oatmeal bread. Actually,
yeah, oatmeal breads, breads with poppy seeds in it, sesame seeds in it. You could coat it on the outside. A lot of people don't know how that is. That's just nothing but egg white. Just beat up egg white and paint it on with a damn paintbrush. And then sprinkle it on there before you bake the bread. And then send it into the oven and it'll be stuck to the top of it. Nice glaze. It's pretty. Nice.
Yeah, I mean, shit. Like I said, somebody said something about banana bread. Which is kind of like the only banana application that I'll kind of tolerate.
There's sweet potato bread. There's all kinds of stuff.
Pumpkin bread.
Pumpkin bread.
Yeah, we made a shit ton of pumpkin bread when we had all those jack-o'-lanterns.
Yeah, I'd go back. We're talking about if we're going to throw pumpkin bread into this mix.
Yeah, which is a quick bread.
It is a type of quick bread.
Yeah.
After Thanksgiving or after Halloween, go down and get those fucked up pumpkins. All right. You would not believe how much food is in a pumpkin. Two pumpkins. Remember I said get some of those big plastic bucket containers?
Yeah.
I cut up and roasted, I guess, two of those big pumpkins, and it filled up the 2 5-gallon
And that containers. Was literally each of those pumpkins, and they were big. I think they were $6 each.
Yeah.
So it was $12.
For $12, we had more pumpkin than we could eat.
And we got sick of it. I didn't really get sick of it.
I made pumpkin soup, pumpkin pies, pumpkin bread. Some of it I tried to freeze. I did freeze it.
We made curry.
Made pumpkin curry. That shit was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, with chicken in it.
Yeah. Pumpkin curry with chicken.
Yeah. We made all kind of shit with that.
Yeah.
We're going to have to do that again this year.
Yeah. It's almost like free food. You're going to have a jack-o'-lantern anyway.
Yeah.
And when you put the jack-o'-lantern out, don't put it outside. Put it on a chair and put it in a window.
That's what we did.
Yeah, keep the bugs off of it.
Yeah, because otherwise you're going to get fucking bugs all over.
You don't have to use Vaseline or anything on the eyes. That's bullshit. If it's indoors, it's okay. Yeah. And then afterwards, just cut, slice it up, put it on a pan, you know, big sheet pan, put it in the oven, bake it or roast it and it's till it gets soft, and then just take a spoon and it comes out of there.
Scrape it all off.
Scrape it all off down into a bucket, and then use an immersion blender and blend it into a nice sludge. And that
slurry.
And that slurry right there can be used to make anything, including pancakes. Pumpkin
pancakes.
Oh,
yeah. I don't think we did that, but we were talking about making pancakes with it or cookies with it. We did make a bunch of bread. We made a bunch of pies. We made soup. Man, I love pumpkin soup.
Bread.
I have a recipe for that in the cookbook, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, people don't realize how much food is in one of those pumpkins.
I didn't realize, honestly.
It tastes like squash.
Yeah, like
but
I said,
you can spice it in a bunch of different ways.
Anything you can do with squash, you can totally do with pumpkin.
You can spice it out to be sweet, or you can spice it to be, you know, what do you call it, savory. Or put a bunch of Indian spices in it. It's good. We're off topic, though.
That's okay. We've been going like for 45 minutes.
Yeah, it's probably about time to talk about bread. That's just an inspiration for you people that have never made bread. It's a good time to get an understanding on how to make bread. It's not intimidating. Just get over it. People are afraid of getting their hands dirty, getting oil on it, and mixing with their hands, you know.
Or they're afraid of messing it up. Because like I said, it is kind of finicky. But if you mess it up,
it doesn't matter.
It's cheap.
It didn't cost anything. Get you a big old metal bowl and some good spatulas or egg flippers is what I use. And then the vegetable oil, big bags of flour and yeast, and get to making bread. Yeah.
I was scrolling through the Wikipedia page with all the different kinds of bread, because there's a zillion, obviously, like from all over the world. And I had remembered... I had totally forgotten about this, but in Wales, they have a bread called Bara Brith, which is kind of like this really dense bread, but it has like currants in it and raisins and stuff. It's actually, I'm not a big raisin fan, but actually that bread is like really, really good.
I haven't had stone bread in a while. You take stone bread, you cut the top of it off, you hollow it out, put it in a bowl, and then pour clam chowder in it, and then put the top back on there.
Doesn't that sound good?
Clam chowder inside stone bread. And then you take the pieces of... the pieces of the bread that you pulled out and make something else with it, like croutons.
Yeah.
Bake it,
turn
it
into croutons. Man, I haven't had soup in a bread bowl in a long time. Yeah. That's making me want some clam chowder in a bread bowl.
Yeah. Mm. Or you could bake the internal stuff and then crumble it up and turn it into breadcrumbs.
One thing that I had that I meant to do when I was in St. Augustine and I forgot, in case you didn't know, like one of the things, there's a big thing there for... one, seafood is a massive thing, obviously, because it's right there on the water. So there's a ton of like really good seafood restaurants there with everything fresh caught. But they're also real well known for, one, homemade booze, two, homemade chocolate and candy, and three, homemade bread. And one of their major things there, which has been there for a million years, like it was there when I was a kid, and I'm sure it was there like when my parents were kids, is the Spanish Bakery. And they only make, it's a tiny, tiny little place. You can't even eat in there. You have to eat like outside, like on the picnic tables or whatever. They make basically like five things. They make like regular bread. They make like sausage rolls, like a, you know, like a hot dog inside a bread. And they make a couple other things. And basically they get up every day, they make a bunch of bread, they put it out, and then you got to go in there and buy shit. You sit out on the picnic table and eat it. And then once they run out of shit, they close for the day.
Tina jumps in, and she's asking about sourdough, asking if it's hard to make. Usually, none of these breads are hard to make. I never made sourdough, but it's going to be something kind of like delayed fermentation, where you have, it's going to not be hard, but it take longer. In other words, the dough is going to have to sit around.
Yeah, and sourdough is just the most finicky, because it's the easiest to mess up.
Yeah, but... you know, you got to look at the tutorial. It may have milk in it. Maybe the milk has to be sour when it goes into the dough. I'd have to read the recipe. It's gonna have yeast in there too. It might just be, I mean, shit. I haven't made it, but I can imagine how it's made. It probably has sour milk in it too.
I'm actually not really sure. Like I said, I'm not a big sourdough fan. I just know that there was kind of a mini trend for everybody wanting to make it, and they were always talking about what a pain in the ass it was.
Yeah. Stuff like sourdough evolved from accidents. It was mistakes from the time before refrigeration, where components went bad, but they were used anyway. And they were like, oh, man, that's good.
So who knew?
Yeah. That's, I think, how cheese developed. Rotten milk. I mean, that's pretty good.
And then they, like, they kept hey, moving Harold, in that direction.
Keep doing that. Anything. Yeah. Then they started keep pushing it into a direction, trying to make a science out of how to make something rot and taste good at the same time. It's not really rotting. It's a bacteria culture. It's like extreme yogurt, really.
Extreme.
But if you smell it, if you have never eaten cheese, you would think that would be a bad idea to eat that. You'd go, oh, that can't be good.
Why does it smell like feet?
Well, especially if it has mold in it.
Yeah.
You know, like blue cheese and Roquefort and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like hot vomit. It tastes like vomit and real spicy. It has that vomit fucking flavor to it. But it's great, though.
But see, like that vomit. Chemical that's in vomit that makes
people makes that
association, there's also something kind of good about it, too.
Yeah, you it's know so what I mean? Powerful that you just have to accept it. You can't fight it. You're like, okay. Yeah, you got me. But some of that cheese is so fucking nasty. It's got living maggots in it, and they're eating it, and it's super, super expensive. Some shit in France. But the French will eat anything. You know. They will. They'll just rename it. They'll just give it a fancy name. Oh, yeah, you can eat that. That shit's expensive. Here, eat this snail. You know what I mean? Fucking, isn't that good? You know, no.
Well,
really.
I'm not a big fan of snails either, yeah. Or frogs, but I can see that's not that weird because it's just one step removed from seafood. And I eat octopus and squid and stuff, so it's like not that weird.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. I don't know. I just not a big fan of like eating frogs or snails or anything.
But to answer your question in general, T, the tutorials and the instructions for all of that stuff is out there. Follow the fucking instructions. There's a reason why they're telling you to do it that way. And as long as you follow the instructions, it should come out good.
Most of the time. Unless
you're fucking up.
You're shocking flour.
Yeah,
unless
you put
the flour in too quick, or unless the yeast is old, or who knows.
That's what I said, follow the directions, because the instructions sometimes are specifically telling you to do things, and people will go, oh, I don't have to do that, and then they skip that. Like, no, you have to do that.
Well, yeah, they're not just saying that for shits and giggles.
Right.
I mean, there's a reason why.
Right.
Why it's done.
But I would imagine breads like sourdough and stone bread, they probably take a long time because the dough has to cure or ferment. And probably temperature sensitive. Maybe within certain temperatures it can happen. And go outside that temperature, it doesn't happen. So you'd have to study every aspect of that recipe and get it right.
Well, I know for...
It shouldn't be that hard, though.
For making a lot of breads, I think the problem, too, is that, especially when it's rising... I think ideally, for best results, for the texture and everything, that your kitchen should actually be kind of warm and humid.
Yeah.
So when you live like in an air-conditioned, dry house, sometimes you have to have workarounds.
Yeah.
Or the bread. I mean, it's not going to fuck up the bread completely, but it's not going to be like as good as it could be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's ambient temperature has a lot to do with it. So like I said, bread's a little bit finicky, but some of them are more finicky than others. Yeah.
Grandpa's talking about cutting bread out to get the carbs out of your diet. You'll lose 15 pounds. Yeah. Yeah, true. Bread is fucking carbohydrate heavy.
Yeah. So good, though.
You kind of want to keep it to a minimum if you're afraid of blowing up. Some people, their genes, they just get fat off fucking carbohydrates really easily, you know?
Yeah.
You give them anything that's white colored, they eat, they blow up. Rice, potatoes, bread, you know? Pasta.
Yeah.
Blow you up. Other people can eat it. Seems like, I've heard that Asians can eat it. Well, in the United States, we call them Asians. Asia's, you know, in England, Asia means Middle East. I'm talking about like the Japanese and the Koreans and the Chinese evidently are, their metabolism allows them to eat a lot of carbohydrates without getting fat. That's why they're skinny. I say they make more insulin than non-Japanese.
Yeah, because, I mean, depending on, like, what people's diets have been, like, throughout the centuries.
Thousands of years, right.
Then, yeah, obviously, you know, if you've if your people have been in the same area for a long time and you've been eating the yeah. same diet for a long time, you're going to like...
They've been eating rice for 3,000 years, probably 2,000 years. Lots of it. The whole empire is built on rice. Anybody who couldn't metabolize rice went extinct. So evidently they got badass fucking... Badass abilities to get nutrition.
Yeah, man, out of, if we ate that much rice every year, we'd blow up. I'd weigh 400 pounds.
Yeah. White people and black people are kind of omnivorous, heavy meat eating, you know, and not so much them, you know. They, like I said, they were coming out of empires built upon rice.
Yeah, that's rice production. Like their main staple.
Yeah.
And even more than I guess wheat was over here.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah, no, our diets were a lot more varied, I think, compared to theirs.
Yeah. They ate a lot more seafood and stuff, too, which is probably good.
Well, the rich people could when they can get it.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, over thousands of years, most people were rice peasants and farmers. They were poor. They just ate rice.
Just ate balls of rice.
Yeah, ball of rice. They were lucky to get some gravy or something on it.
That's got to be really
life good. Sucked most of the time, people. We you know we are living in the fucking best time in human history ever possible, where you can get fruit all year round, no matter where you live. You have citrus fruit no matter where you live all year round. That was not you know, in the 1800s, that was totally impossible. Things came into season, that was it.
Yeah, that was like a big deal. Only rich people could afford oranges and shit like that if they were in particular.
And certain kind of foods could not be shipped. You just couldn't transport it. It would be fucked up by the time it got there. So certain foods were only available in the country of origin.
Yep.
You couldn't ship it out. Too delicate. They smashed too much. Shit like that. No way to refrigerate it. No way to protect it from fucking bugs. So our diets, the world has never had a diet so varied. Now, you still got some places that are poor and they don't have a whole lot. But in general, it's never been this good, especially when it comes to food.
Yeah, I mean, really, particularly in the West, you know, in the U.S. and Europe and stuff like that, it's like you can pretty much walk out your door and eat whatever it is the hell you want to eat. I mean, without too much trouble.
And you can go on the internet, go on YouTube, and see somebody in Japan cooking a dish, and you can go, okay, I'm going to make that. And you can make it. You can get all the components and everything. That was unheard of. You couldn't do that in the 80s.
Yeah, I was going to say, you couldn't do that when I was a kid.
Nope.
And that wasn't that long ago.
You just had to wonder. You had to wonder.
Yeah.
How they did that. And then you had to buy a cookbook and you hoped that it was accurate. That the information was accurate, you know.
It's just funny to think about now because everything's so much easier.
And everything is accelerating really quickly. Like, for instance, guys that are into like guns and reloading ammunition and high-tech shit, they're on YouTube showing each other and talking to each other and designing things together and technology is accelerating faster because everybody can see what everybody else is doing. That was not a possible. You couldn't do that even in the 90s.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know? That's why everything's... because it's you can instantly find out what other people are doing.
Are doing, right.
On the other side of the world, like right now.
You got guys scattered out, 40, 50 dudes scattered out across the globe, all working on the same problem at the same time, talking to each other and showing video evidence. And high-speed film. Of bullets passing through ballistic gelatin and shit. High-speed film, man, when I was a kid, that was a high-speed camera was $1 million. These dudes are just doing it with something looking like a damn cell phone.
Yep.
Slow-motion picture of a fucking bullet.
What a
bullet
time to be alive.
Yeah. Only a government agency had the ability to get a picture of a bullet slowly moving through things. Fucking amazing, man.
I remember seeing documentaries like that when I was a kid of like all the slow motion photography. And it was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Like, how neat that was.
Now it's commonplace. Everybody has it.
Well, yeah, now everybody's got that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, Grantham's Hammer is talking about Native Americans not having the enzymes for alcohol, hence why they can't drink alcohol or why it like affects them worse than it does Europeans.
That was the same with Pacific Islanders, man. We were in the army. Those dudes would go berserk, man. You give them a drink and they shove their head through the wall, start fighting each other. My friend Gordon cut off fucking Speechek's fucking thumb. Then a fight with a knife. Remember him? That told you about him?
Yeah.
He became an army ranger later on afterwards. He went to the stockade when he came out.
They did sew the thumb back on, right?
Yeah, they put it back on. It went mostly through the bone. The bone was cracking and over.
I was like, oh.
I don't want to fucking think about it. Oh, I don't want to think about it. God.
I know. Oh. Now, like the rest of the day, I'm going to go around like this.
Oh. I remembered what that shit looked like. Oh.
I know, I can imagine.
Yeah. What's funny is like, somebody tossed me a girl's head in a Ziploc bag and that didn't bother me. But seeing fucking Speedcheck's thumb and we went like that, it went cracked. I was like, oh God, I did it again, man. Ooh.
Yeah, don't do that. Ugh. That's like watching people's like fingernails bend.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, like beheading and said that's awful. But it's like for some reason, like little shit like that, like your fingers bending the wrong way and shit like that is just like really.
Yeah. Go ahead and kill a string.
Or like I said, you know, sometimes when I'm walking through the kitchen and like the floor is slippery and like I'll kind of slide or something, I'm like, oh man, what would happen if like I slipped and like fell right on my face and then like my teeth went through my lip and all this other kind of shit? Blah, that'd be awful. Yeah. But so like I said, talking about bread has made me want to buy a bread machine. Maybe I'll go buy a bread machine after the show's over, because I used to have one and I used to really like it. I used it all the time because it's, you know, it's fresh bread, but it's like not any work really, which is kind of nice. You don't have to knead it. You just kind of pop it all in there and then like a few hours later, ta-da, it's all done. But yeah. All right, so we will be back tomorrow. I can't believe we were going on for an hour.
Yeah, an hour show.
Yeah. So we'll be back tomorrow as usual. We're probably going to do a movie. Might do one of these ones that No Need For Me to sent us, because he sent us a big pile of movies along with the laptop. So maybe we'll watch one of those tonight and review that tomorrow. So that'll be fun. All right. So hopefully you guys enjoyed the show. Have a good rest of your weekend, and we will see you guys again tomorrow. Bye.